Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
We begin today with a story that's been developing all weekend long. As we've talked about on the show before, over the past few years, National Football League players have chosen to kneel or sit during the national anthem in protest of the treatment of African Americans by police. It's a practice that's attracted attention from sports fans around the world, and this weekend it attracted the attention of arguably the most powerful sports fan in the United States, President Donald Trump. At a rally on Friday, President Trump lashed out at NFL players who chose to kneel, saying that if players don't respect the national anthem, fans should leave the stadium, and owners should fire those players. The president followed up those comments with a series of tweets on Saturday and Sunday, including this one, quote, "If a player wants the privilege of making millions of dollars in the National Football League or other leagues, he or she should not be allowed to disrespect our great American flag or country and should stand for the national anthem. If not, you're fired. Find something else to do." Trump's comments took what was already a tense and divisive debate and turned it into a full-on frenzy. Players, team owners, and fans began speaking out, including National Football League Commissioner Roger Goodell, who said, quote, "Divisive comments like these demonstrate an unfortunate lack of respect for our great game and all of our players, and a failure to understand the overwhelming force for good our clubs and players represent in our communities." But it's been said that actions speak louder than words. And we saw that this past Sunday when players across the National Football League responded to the president's comments, with a number of teams choosing to kneel, link arms, or stay off the field altogether during the national anthem. After Sunday's NFL games, players, coaches, and team owners said that those displays were symbols of patriotism and solidarity. As we've mentioned, players kneeling or sitting during the national anthem has been a debate going on for months and even years, but this is by far the most attention that this issue has received, bringing it from the sports world to the forefront of our national attention. And it's very likely that that attention and the tension that goes with it are only going to grow. It's not clear how or when this issue will end, or if it ever will, but for right now, the most watched activity in sports in the United States isn't happening during games, it's happening just before. We'll continue to follow the latest on this story this week, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Music heals your body, heals your soul, it heals your spirit, it makes you whole, it heals. So get in the music.
Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sonny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Now with an African sports update, here's Sunny Side of Sports contributor Samson Amale.
We begin with the Berlin Marathon, which took place on Sunday as Kenya claimed double gold after Eliud Kipchoge and Gladys Cherono won the men's and women's race respectively. Kipchoge braved wet conditions on Sunday to cross the finish line at Berlin's Brandenburg Gate in 2 hours, 3 minutes, 32 seconds, missing out on the world record by 35 seconds. Guyo Andola of Ethiopia finished second with a time of 2 hours, 3 minutes, 46 seconds, while Musinet Geremio of Ethiopia was third in 2 hours, 6 minutes, 9 seconds. Olympic 5,000 and 10,000 meters champion Kenenisa Bekele fell off the leading park just after the halfway mark. Kenenisa explains why he pulled out of the race.
The problem was, you know, too much raining and, you know, the ground was very wet, not comfortable, just, you know, the shoes cannot grab in the road, so maintain the pace, you know, losing more energy to keep the pace, so was difficult.
And now to football news. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, this past weekend officially stripped Kenya of the rights to host the 2018 African Nations Championship, CHAN, after an executive committee meeting in Accra, Ghana, on Saturday evening. Addressing the press in Accra on Saturday, CAF President Ahmed Ahmed said that the current political situation in the country was not found conducive for the games. CAF First Vice President Kwesi Nyatake said only countries with existing stadia can now bid to host CHAN 2018.
Those who are putting bids are not going to be persons who are now coming to tell you we are constructing stadia or we are improving hotel facilities. No, it will be considered solely on the basis of those who have existing infrastructure in place.
In the CAF Champions League, defending champions Mamelodi Sundowns were dumped out of the CAF Champions League after losing 3-2 on penalties to Moroccan side Wydad Casablanca in raids on Saturday. Wydad will now meet USM Alger in the semi-finals after the Algerian side edged past Mozambique outfit Ferroviario Biera on the away goals rules. Eight-time winners Al Ahly eased into the semi-finals with a 2-1 away victory over Tunisian side Esperance that gave them a 4-3 aggregate success. Staying with football, Ghana is now the new champions of the West African Football Union Cup of Nations. The Black Stars thrashed Nigeria's home-based Super Eagles 4-1 in the final match of the regional competition played on Sunday. In another regional competition, this time around in Southern Africa, South African women's national football team Bayana Bayana were crowned champions of the 2017 Women's COSAFA Championships after beating host nation Zimbabwe 2-1 at Barbara Field Stadium in Bulawayo City on Sunday. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. As you heard Samson in that report, Kenya captured the double gold at the Berlin Marathon this year. Let's start with the men's champion, Eliud Kipchoge, who completed the very rainy marathon course in 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 32 seconds, missing his chance at the world record by just 35 seconds. Our Sunny Side of Sports track contributor Andy Edwards was at the race in Berlin, and he spoke with Kipchoge after his win about the wet course conditions and his reaction to winning the Berlin Marathon for the second time.
I'm with the men's champion of the BMW Berlin Marathon 2017. That's Eliud Kipchoge. A fascinating race, a race which turned out, in a sense, to have so many surprises. Eliud, just thinking about Berlin, you've run here twice, you've won here twice in different conditions. Are you tempted to come back a third time and, well, maybe have another go at breaking the world record?
Thank you once again. Absolutely, I'd have to come back for the next time to try to break a world record, because I was coming for ultra good path, due to unfavorable circumstances, then the way that changed mysteriously. Yes.
2017 has been, shall we say, an interesting year for you, because it's been unusual. I mean, the Monza, the marathon, running that distance just 25 seconds outside 2 hours, and now Berlin. What have you learnt from this year? Because it hasn't, may I say, been typical. Because Monza was really going into kind of new territory, I think, fair to say.
I've learned marathon is life, and anything can happen. You can run today fast, you can run tomorrow slow, but all in all, it's sport. Yes.
How did Monza strengthen you? Because you talked about before the Berlin race that it gave you new strength. Was it not just only physically, but mentally, to be looking at the clock when you cross the line saying 2 hours and 25 seconds?
It gave me a lot of strength mentally. Especially I was very happy when I crossed the finishing line with 2 hours and 25 seconds. And you know, I was running against the unthinkable. And passed the message to the whole world that me and my partner, that's Nike, that we are trying to have no limits in this sport and in any career in this world.
When you talk about no limits, in the history of marathon running, people often talk about top marathoners having a certain amount of very good marathons in their legs. Do you feel you've still got quite a few very good marathons in your legs? Because, of course, we all know you've been running at the top in track before this as well. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely, I still have good marathons in my legs. That's no doubt.
Eliud Kipchoge, champion yet again of the BMW Berlin Marathon. Thanks very much. Thank you, Eliud.
Thank you very much.
And on the women's side, Gladys Chirono, also of Kenya, also captured her second Berlin Marathon win, finishing the race with a time of 2 hours, 20 minutes, 23 seconds. It's been a long road for Chirono since her first win in 2015, dealing with injuries throughout 2016. Here again is Andy Edwards, who spoke with Gladys Chirono about her win and about her big comeback.
Well, I think you could say the comeback kid or the comeback woman, Gladys Chirono of Kenya, is the winner of the BMW Berlin Marathon 2017. 2 years ago, Gladys ran here and won, ran 2:19.25. Not quite so fast today, at just outside 2:20, but the conditions are much tougher and she's had a year of injury in between. So Gladys, I think it's fair to say seeing you and talking to you, it's been very satisfying for you to win so well in tough conditions in Berlin today.
Yeah, I'm happy because winning a race like this and coming back from injury, I'm really very happy because the weather condition, I was just aiming to run under 2:20, but weather was not good today, and I'm happy for that.
You and the other elite runners, the men as well, talk about the effect when you're running at such speed of the rainwater. It wasn't necessarily running heavily, but talking about it coming up onto your muscles and causing you to feel cold. Now, for us ordinary runners, perhaps we don't notice that so much, but just tell me, you know, when it's wet underfoot on the road, how does that affect you, your stride, your ability to run fast?
The condition was so bad because when you are running, you run muscles cannot feel warm. It's very cold, and then towards the end, muscles were so tired. Yeah, it was very tired.
Was there a point in the race when you started feeling more cold? Or I mean, yeah. You assume in a way you warm up because you're running at speed.
Towards the end, because all the way it was raining, water on the road, everywhere, yes.
But you opened up a lead at around 35 kilometres. Before that, you were in a group and there was your fellow Kenyan, Valerie Ayabe. Rutiaga of Ethiopia was going well. But seeing you come through the Brandenburg Gate when there's about 250 metres left, there were people still behind you, your rivals. So the look on your face looking up at the video screen was that you were really like running for your life.
Yeah, because everybody, my colleagues, was very strong. So I tried to push at 35 kilometers to see whether they will resist the pace. And after that, I went home and nobody followed me. And when I reached that almost 40 kilometers, I feel my muscles become so tired.
Your best is 2 hours 19 minutes 25. That's 2 years ago in Berlin. I mean, you're still young. Do you think you've got the potential to improve on that kind of time?
Yes, I have a lot of time. I will improve. Yeah, even my aim here was to improve. But due to weather condition, it went home.
Well, 2 hours 20:23 is still pretty good. Yeah, just one last thing. Thinking about, I know you said earlier before the race, you had a stress fracture. How hard was it coming back from that? I know quite a few elite runners and other runners have it, but was it? Were you running through pain initially when you got better?
I stay for 6 months without training, and then you start also the training. After 2 months, I got another injury again at the back. L5. I stay for 1 month, and then I resume my training also.
What was the first injury? Was that in your foot?
Yeah. It was at the sacrum.
Oh, in the lower back?
Yeah, lower back.
I see. Yeah. So everything, of course, compensates.
Also, yeah.
So, and that happens even with the elite just as much with ordinary runners. Well, you looked in great shape today.
Now I'm okay because I'm back. After staying for almost 2 years and run like this, that's good.
Well, you certainly show what a tough runner you are. Gladys Chirono, women's champion of the BMW Berlin Marathon. Thank you very much, Gladys. Well done.
Thank you.
Our congratulations to Eliud Kipchoge and Gladys Chirono, winners of the 2017 Berlin Marathon. And our Sunny Side of Sports thanks as well to Samson O'Malley in Abuja and Andy Edwards for those interviews from Berlin. I'm Andrew Palczewski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Joining me now in the studio is my VOA colleague Dan Friedel, who's here to talk about the latest trends in the sports world. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Andrew. It's nice to be here. I can't believe we're officially now into fall. The summer ended a few days ago. Last time I was here, we were in July getting ready for the Major League Baseball All-Star Games. So it's good to get a chance to come back and update all of our listeners.
Absolutely. I don't think the temperature has changed, though. It's still very hot here in Washington,
<You're right>.
D.C.
So you were just speaking about the NFL news over the weekend, but NBA training camps are back in full swing today. Officially, I think all of the teams will have started their formal season, preseason time with press conferences and early season practices. Over the weekend, along with the NFL news, there was a lot of back and forth between the White House and NBA players, including LeBron James and Steph Curry. As you know, it's a tradition for the NBA champion team from the previous season to make a visit to the White House when they come through town to play the Washington Wizards. And this year, the Golden State Warriors are going to be in Washington in February 2018. That would have been the traditional moment for the Warriors to come to Washington and celebrate their championship with the president. It sounds as if the Warriors were in the process of deciding about whether they would come to the White House. And Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, has been talking about how the team was discussing not so much just a traditional, you know, number one jersey presentation to the president as past presidents have received from when Kerr, for example, was a player for the Chicago Bulls when he was winning championships with Michael Jordan, but more of a dialogue with the president in an effort to kind of heal some of the wounds that have been opened up since the campaign of over a year ago. And Curry himself said he was reluctant to come to the White House to meet with the president in any way because of some of the divisive comments that he's made over the last year. And overnight, from Friday into Saturday, it seems as if the president rescinded the invitation to the entire team. So a lot of the conversation on Saturday was from players like LeBron James saying Steph Curry wasn't going to come to the White House anyway. The Warriors saying that we were hoping to have a, a, a productive dialogue, and now we will not be there. The Washington, D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, said, "We're still happy to have you come and do something in the community, even if the White House visit isn't going to happen." So that's been on the tip of the tongue of the sports world, along with the anticipation of the new season, the 17-18 season, which really is just about 20 days away. It's earlier than usual. The season typically begins in late October, and this year it'll be closer to the middle of the month. And there are a lot of teams that have some new faces on them this year.
Yeah, a lot of big changes. I know that your Cleveland Cavaliers making some big moves in the offseason. It's going to be exciting to see them play against the Boston Celtics, because those two teams trading some of their biggest players.
Well, not only do the teams have this established rivalry, if you think back a couple years ago, as the Cavs were playing the Warriors in the finals, the first time they had to play without Kevin Love, whose shoulder was injured in the playoff series against the Celtics. Last year in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics managed to get the number one seed in the conference, even though the Cavs were the presumed favorite. The Cavs didn't have any trouble with the Celtics in the playoffs, but it'll be interesting to see what happens now that the two key guards have switched places, with Kyrie Irving going to Boston, Isaiah Thomas, who is going to start the season on the injured list. I just saw a little graphic saying that he was not going to probably play until January. But those two teams have switched key players. Maybe it'll give Kevin Love a chance to really show how good he can be without having to be the third option on the Cavs this year. Over the weekend, also, Carmelo Anthony moving from the New York City East Coast to the middle of the country, going to go play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Carmelo Anthony traded from the Knicks to the Thunder in return for a handful of players and a draft pick from that actually used to belong to the Chicago Bulls. So that'll give the Thunder a chance to maybe get back into the playoff mix, considering that they received Paul George earlier this year from the Indiana Pacers in return for a couple of players. So you have Westbrook, one of the best players in the NBA, who missed a triple-double, now joined by Paul George, an established all-star, and Carmelo Anthony, who, of course, is capable of taking over a game at any time, even though he may be getting toward the second part of his career. So a couple of major moves in the NBA, along with Chris Paul going from the Clippers to the Rockets. So it's setting up for an interesting season.
Yeah, the Carmelo Anthony drama, especially in New York. They've been looking to trade him. He'd been looking to leave for a while. So it's finally now a done deal. It's going to be very interesting to see how that Oklahoma City team shapes up.
You're right, right. So in the last couple of minutes that I'm with you, I hope we can take a minute to talk about the Major League Baseball season, which will be over a week from today. Speaking of the marathons that we were just hearing the results from recently, it is a marathon of a season, starting with pitchers and catchers reporting in February and spring training games going on in March and the season starting in April. 162 games later, the two big storylines of the season have been the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Cleveland Indians. Some people may be thinking these are the teams that are going to meet in the World Series in about a month, but some other teams are in the mix that might have their say. For example, the Houston Astros, going from one of the worst teams in baseball recently to winning the American League Western Division. Some old baseball fans remember when the Astros were in the National League. Myself included, I have trouble thinking that they're in the American League, but they celebrated their first division championship as an American League team about a week ago. You also have the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees in kind of a return to tradition in the American League East. As you might recall, the last time I was in the studio, we were talking about Aaron Judge and his outstanding first half. Well, Judge has slowed down a little bit. And our hometown team, our local team, the Washington Nationals, might have a say in the National League. So we'll see what happens. But it should make for an exciting baseball playoffs coming up in October.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Dan Friedel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sunny Side of Sports. And that wraps up the September 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank all of you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. U.S. President Donald Trump and U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley, joined leaders of 127 United Nations member states in supporting reform of the international body in a recent U.S.-hosted event. The nations pledged support for Secretary General Antonio Guterres' reform agenda, calling for reform in the pillars of peace and security, development, and management reform. They signed a 10-point declaration committing to strong partnerships in this matter and stronger collaboration in mandate delivery overall. The United Nations was founded on truly noble goals, said President Trump. Yet in recent years, the United Nations has not reached its full potential because of bureaucracy and mismanagement. We commend the Secretary General and his call for the United Nations to focus more on people and less on bureaucracy.
We seek a United Nations that regains the trust of the people around the world. In order to achieve this, the United Nations must hold every level of management accountable, protect whistleblowers, and focus on results rather than on process.
The 10-point plan called for a reduction in redundancy throughout and across the United Nations system and greater transparency and predictability in its planning and budget functions. The declaration also called for concrete changes in the United Nations system to better align its work on humanitarian response, development, and sustaining peace initiatives.
To honor the people of our nations, we must ensure that no one and no member state shoulders a disproportionate share of the burden, and that's militarily or financially. We also ask that every peacekeeping mission have clearly defined goals and metrics for evaluating success.
We pledge to be partners in your work, said President Trump, and I am confident that if we work together and champion truly bold reforms, the United Nations will emerge as a stronger, more effective, more just, and greater force for peace and harmony in the world. The U.S. hopes to bring the United Nations to complete consensus on these goals and calls on some 70 remaining member states to sign the declaration, said Ambassador Haley. In the coming weeks and months, we will be considering the Secretary General's broader vision. This is an opportunity for all of us to seize this moment and ensure that the United Nations remains relevant. Let's make it a new day at the United Nations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a three-nation Africa visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered, reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka, on the next, Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.